It's time now for America in the Balance, brought to you by Oklahomans for Sovereignty and Free Enterprise. And now your co-hosts, Amanda Teagarden and James Parsons.
And welcome, freedom-loving Oklahomans, to another hour of America in the Balance on Truth in Focus Internet Radio. This is Amanda Teagarden, one of your hosts in studio with James Parsons. We have a special guest today, which we'll get to in just a moment. We're both of OK Safe. That's Oklahomans for Sovereignty and Free Enterprise. Our website is www.ok-safe.com. And I reverted back to the old way of saying it. You don't have to say all the W's, so it's ok-safe.com. Anyway, welcome, audience, and welcome, James. How are you?
I am wonderful.
You were sick a few weeks ago. Now it's my turn. There's something going around in the state of Oklahoma, and a lot of people are catching it. So
we need better health care.
We do need better. Well, it's just around the corner, socialized medicine. All right. What we're going to discuss today is the creation of an insurance, health insurance exchange program, which, believe it or not, the state of Oklahoma is instituting while they are also engaged in a lawsuit against what has been called Obamacare. Now, that name was a strategic bit of marketing, I think, which was a little bit genius on their part to characterize the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act as to nickname it as Obamacare, which causes people to blame the current president. What has happened, what is revealed, though, by looking at all the documents, is that this what is called Obamacare was in the play for a long time. The groundwork was laid. It was people in the United States opposed the institution of Obamacare. You probably made phone calls to your congressman, didn't you, Senator Inhofe and John Sullivan?
Yes, I did, and wrote letters.
People were sending faxes. And it was a great turmoil in this country over socialized medicine, which it was recognized to be. Well, it passed anyway in March of 2010, along with another Affordable Care Act, which I'll tell you here in just a second. I've got this. It was the Health Care and Education Reconciliation Act of 2010. Did you hear much about that one, James?
No, please tell me more.
Well, what that one was, along with the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act, which was passed the week prior, both make up together what's now called the Affordable Care Act. And our guest today is going to be talking about, as an independent insurance broker in the state of Oklahoma, what the concerns are and the ramifications are of this Affordable Care Act. And by golly, the Republicans got elected. Well, kind of hardly any difference, but the Republicans got elected in the state of Oklahoma on the premise that they were going to oppose Obamacare. We're going to engage in this lawsuit. The lawsuit's been filed, and yet they are instituting Obamacare. Our guest is Mark Croucher, who is the, is it president or owner? President.
Both.
President and owner of Y Insurance, WHY Insurance in the state of Oklahoma. He is an independent insurance broker, and he has been participating in a series of stakeholder meetings with an organization, which he'll explain. And welcome, Mark. You're in studio with us, and we're delighted to have you on the program to explain what your concerns are with this health insurance exchange program.
Thank you, Amanda. It's great to be here.
Well, first, a little bit about, we met you when you were running for insurance commissioner in 2009, right?
That's correct. 2010.
And John Doak is the current Oklahoma insurance commissioner. At that time, you were running as an independent insurance broker with the concerns. Did you have concerns in 2010 about this insurance exchange?
I had tremendous concerns. That's actually why I decided to run for insurance commissioner when I did. Not really politically inclined, but after having been in the insurance business for 14 years and primarily dealt with health insurance, not property and casualty, but actually dealt with health, I knew the repercussions that we were facing. And when I went through the bill and I dissected the Obamacare, and I looked at it and I said, this is wrong. And it's, you know, we had to get out and get the word out as to what it would do and how it would destroy America. You can't afford what you can't afford it. You still can't afford it. We still can't afford it, whether we do it in Oklahoma or whether we do it on a national level.
The James brought up last week during our radio show was the one that brought this to our attention about this insurance exchange program. And James, can you recount what brought this to your attention?
Well, what brought my attention, well, one, it's a simple fact that I have always heard from our Republican brothers and sisters that we want to oppose Obamacare. But and then I read in the newspaper that our governor, Mary Fallon, who is a Republican, accepted $54 million to help set up this information foundation for these exchanges that were going on, which is in the heart of Obamacare, which was also funded with Obamacare money. So in one hand, we're fighting it. The Republicans want to fight it. On the other hand, their hands are out accepting the money. And then what else brought my attention is that no Republican elective statewide officials are sitting there even opposing any of this or not even speaking out against it. But as recently as Friday, we hear that along with our Commissioner Doak is out there proud that we're accepting this money and so we can set up these exchanges. So that's kind of how I came about it and was hearing and started researching it more.
And how you found it was this press release, right?
That's correct. The press release that came out at 4 p.m. Friday night from Governor Fallon's office.
All right. Well, we're recording this on in late February, and so the Friday you're talking about is Friday, February 25th. And the title of the press release says, State Leaders, Oklahoma will accept $54 million early innovator grant to support an Oklahoma-based health insurance exchange. Now, I would call that spin, since it may be Oklahoma-based, but it is federally mandated. So what's so Oklahoma? Mark, what is so Oklahoma-based about this health insurance exchange?
Well, this is where it gets interesting. When the first exchange meeting I went to was in October. I was actually invited to go to the very first stakeholders meeting, which was held by that time Commissioner Kim Holland.
What's the name of the organization that had the stakeholder meetings?
Originally, at that time, it was the Oklahoma Insurance Department. And they were holding the stakeholder meeting to decide the healthcare exchange and to begin the preliminary grounds to have it set up so that it would be fully implemented by 2014. The next meeting was to be held in November. It was canceled. And another meeting was not held until right at the end of November. Right at the end of January. We went to that meeting. However, instead of it being at the insurance commissioner's department, for some reason, Governor Henry took it away from the Oklahoma Insurance Department just before he left office and moved it over to the Department of Mental Health.
In November of 2010?
Somewhere in December. I didn't even know it had happened until I got a notice and I realized that this meeting was going to be not held by the insurance commissioner's office, but actually by the Department of Mental Health. And the couple of folks that were going to be in charge of it at that time were not ones that were there at the earlier meeting. When I began to question it, I found out that it was Governor Henry that had moved it from the Oklahoma Insurance Department over to the Mental Health, which took it out of the control of Commissioner Doak, which I found very interesting because I thought, well, gee, I would think they would want it, back to the department that would know the most about insurance here in the state. When we got to the meeting, they had just laid out that there would be seven primary committees that would make up, advisory committees that would make up the groundwork for the exchange, put their ideas and their input together. And out of those ideas would be, they would begin to formulate it.
The exchange, the groundwork, the parameters for the exchange?
Yes, and they had it divided into seven. I apologize for not being as prepared as I should. There were seven different committees, and they advised the stakeholders. And by the way, a stakeholder is anyone here in the state of Oklahoma. If you're a registered voter, you're a stakeholder, and you can attend these meetings. And I'm sure they've done a really good job of notifying you about all of them.
I didn't know about them until you called me and said you're going to be at the Capitol on Tuesday.
I know, isn't that amazing? Next meeting is going to be the 16th of March, by the way.
Where's the meeting going to be held?
At the Shepherd Hills Mall.
Where's that?
In Oklahoma City.
Shepherd Hills Mall in Oklahoma City on March 16th.
March 16th. It'd be at, I think it's 10:30 in the morning.
Until what time?
That depends. Probably last couple of hours.
All right. Would you email that to me when you're done?
I would be more than happy to.
We'll see if we can get a bunch of people attending that meeting.
And anyway, the committees were set up, and they would go back and make their advice and then pass it on. What I began to question was the following week as we went to the Capitol. It seemed like a lot of things had already been decided. So I'm like, why are we doing what we're doing? And they all, I keep hearing from everybody that I've talked with, they say, well, we got to do this commission or do this exchange because if we don't do the exchange, the federal government's going to make us. Well, what are they going to make us do?
The state of Oklahoma, that's a good question. What are they going to make us do?
What are they going to do? Send in federal troops? What are they going to make us do if we don't do it? Now, the second thing about it is if you take a look at the exchange, we got a $1 million grant originally from the federal government to set this up.
The infrastructure, the IT infrastructure.
And that is what Kim Holland accepted before she left office.
That's correct. She accepted that. In all fairness, 48 states and the District of Columbia, I believe it was, accepted that $1 million grant. Only Alaska and one other state gave it back. I think it was Wisconsin, but don't hold me to that. Gave the money back, so we're not interested in it. We don't want to do it.
Now, can you tell me just kind of an idea of what these exchanges do? You know, we're told that they create competition, that they will ensure accountability and lower costs for health care. I mean, how does an exchange accomplish those things?
Well, if I knew, I'd tell you. That's the problem. They tell me, I hear people tell me, they say, listen, now there's two working exchanges now. One of them is in Massachusetts. It was $22 million to build it. We need to, we don't want that one. Because it's losing money. The people aren't getting as good a health care as they should. We want something more like they've got in Utah. So great. What's Utah got? Well, they've got a website, and it costs $600,000 to build it. I said, well, my question is, why do we need $50 million if it only takes $600,000? Now, some things about the Utah exchange, if you look, you'll only find there's only a half a dozen insurance companies on that exchange. I don't know. I'm not a licensed. I'm licensed in several states. Utah is not one of them. I plan on getting licensed as a non-resident in Utah and going through their certification training to get an idea of exactly what they're planning on doing. But what I can't figure out is what do they want to accomplish with it? I've been in the insurance a long time. I have yet to have anybody come into my office or me come to their home that had it. Desire to get insurance that we couldn't take care of them, in regards to their health conditions. Now, granted, it may be costly, more costly than they want to pay. But we don't need $50 million. We don't need any type of federal strings attached.
Now, in the press release by Mary Fallon, and I'll read this press release. James, do you have it?
I got it right here.
All right. Would you read the press release from February 25th, 2011, issued by Governor Mary Fallon?
Governor Mary Fallon joined other state leaders today in announcing that the state of Oklahoma will accept a $54 million grant to help design and implement the information technology infrastructure to operate an Oklahoma health insurance exchange. Fallon listed the creation of such an exchange as one of her top priorities in her State of the State address earlier this month. She and others announced their support for the grant after working with state agencies to ensure that no unworkable federal mandates were included.
And the quote from Governor Mary Fallon:
after thoroughly reviewing the early innovator grant, I am happy to say that the federal assistance we are being offered is consistent with our mission to design and implement an Oklahoma-based health insurance exchange. That exchange will empower consumers and help individuals and small business to shop for and enroll in affordable, quality health insurance plans This is a step in the right direction for Oklahoma and its citizens.
And it goes on to quote House Speaker Chris Steele, this opportunity will remove the obstacles many people face in obtaining health insurance and allow many more Oklahomans to become insured. This would not only improve the overall health of our state, it will also empower and equip patients to invest in their own health care needs and outcomes. What that means is you're going to have your doctors going to be in Mumbai, and they're going to be telling you how to treat yourself over the internet. Okay.
And why is Chris Steele important in this whole deal?
Chris Steele passed the groundwork bill, House Bill 2026 in 2009, which instituted, laid out the groundwork to be able to implement the health insurance exchange.
It created the health exchange that we're about to see.
He did.
And so he's a player in it. And then it lists other people as far as our pro temp Brian Bingman, and then Insurance Commissioner John Doak, and Mike Fogarty, who is, well, I can go on about him, but all these Republicans and government agencies all coming together to help form these exchanges.
Just a second, Mark. The actual recipient of the grant is the entity called the Oklahoma Healthcare Authority. Go ahead.
Okay. That was an interesting thing about 2026. When we went to this last exchange meeting, we asked them why were we doing an exchange. The people had voted in state question 756 had voted they didn't want it. We were corrected that they voted for no mandates. But the lady, we were informed that they were operating under 2026. But if you read the law as it states now, the authority to build an exchange was not with the Department of Mental Health. It was with the Oklahoma Healthcare Authority and the Oklahoma Insurance Commission. It also states that they are to buy their insurance, to obtain their insurance from a local insurance agent. And this does not ring true with what they're doing when they talk about using the information technology.
All the Republicans who recently were elected were asked the question on the campaign trail, do they support Obamacare? And they know they didn't, and they would be opposing the implementation of socialized medicine, which is what this is characterized. Yet this grant, which Mary Fallon has accepted, is straight out of Obamacare. And in fact, the health insurance exchange is a cornerstone of Obamacare, the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act. And if you read the grant, which is 41 pages long, it's available on grants.gov. If you want to look at that, it says on the background, if you read the document, it tells you the specific sections of Obamacare, the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act, the specific sections of that law that passed at the federal level that the insurance exchange is fulfilling. And it's Section 1311. Section 1323, Section 1561, and also Section 1304. That Section 1311 is the one that actually describes the exchange and how the states are to implement it to fulfill this Affordable Care Act. And the section of 1323 tells how the U.S. territories can also participate. And 1561, Section 51, outlines the design standards which the state has to be in compliance with to make everything that has to do with health standardized, a common format, common XML language, and so that it's able to communicate. The grant is also available to a consortia of states if they wanted to ask for a grant with a neighboring state, and one state would be have fiduciary responsibility for all of the states. In looking at the seven recipients of the grant money, Oklahoma was the largest with $54 million. So we're serious about implementing Obamacare while the Republicans are denying we're implementing Obamacare.
But what you just said, in order for that to happen, there has to be strings attached.
There are strings attached.
And which is totally opposite of what Mary Fallon has said, that there'll be no strings attached. But there has to be strings attached if you have to standardize, if you have to make sure it's portable and all those types of things. Those are federal mandates. Those are federal strings attached. in order for you to use that money.
There is no room for deviation from the original plan. You can color your website blue instead of red if you want, but you have to comply with the requirements of both the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act. You have to comply with the health information technology mandates. And it says the OCIIO, which is this federal, this is an agreement, a business agreement between the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Oklahoma Health Care Authority. In order to apply for this grant, the Health Care Authority had to provide a DUNS number, and a DUNS number is what business entities issue. That's how you conduct business in interactions. It's a 9-digit number that identifies a business entity. The strings include a letter of support from the governor, and also from this is a cooperative agreement. So this is a contract between the federal government, Health and Human Services, and the state of Oklahoma, the Oklahoma Healthcare Authority. It is a contract, which has to be, it's a legal document in order to take that money. The strings attached are that both the governor and the state Medicaid director must submit a letter saying that they are in compliance, that they are in full support of the Patient Protection and Affordable Health Care Act. They have to have the DUNS number. They have to have an authorized organization representative. They have to, I got a note here for it says a big string. They have to, under 45 CFR, that's the Code of Federal Regulations, they have to meet Code of Federal Regulations. Sorry, my cold is really bothering me. Retains a royalty-free, non-exclusive, irrevocable license to reproduce, publish, and otherwise use and authorize others to use for federal government purposes the copyright in any work developed under the grant. So anything the state creates using these exchanges, the federal government can use, or subgrant to subcontract, and then any rights to a copyright purchased with the grant. You don't have a copyright right to whatever you create in this exchange in Oklahoma. It is completely available for use by the federal government. So it is, like I said, this grant reads like a contract. It is a cooperative agreement, and the state of Oklahoma, under Mary Fallon, has agreed to participate in Obamacare.
Right, and then I just bring this up to you. One thing I think, and we may have to get into this in the next 26 minutes after the break, but I do not, if you understand the Republican Party, they are not being hypocrites in this, and this is how I mean this. It's all about defining terms. They have, if you talk about, every time they have talked about fighting against Obamacare, they have only defined what that means in one way, and that is, and if you look at our lawsuit and you look at what we passed as far as the state, and in the state that we know, we fought against Obamacare. But it was only that the federal government cannot mandate you to purchase insurance. They, if you remember, that is the whole argument of all the lawsuits. That is everything that the Republicans are fighting against. They have never said anything about fighting against the exchanges, accepting the federal dollars, implementing this type of socialized medicines. Their only thing that they have ever said that they're fighting against, when they mention we're fighting against Obamacare, is the idea of a federal government forcing someone to purchase insurance. So they can sit around and say, hey, we're fighting against Obamacare, but please understand that is the only way they mean that. In all other instances, they support everything that's in Obamacare because they're not fighting against anything else. They're only fighting against that one entity. When we passed our state law or the state question against Obamacare, it was only to you cannot mandate a private citizen to purchase insurance. And so there's all this other stuff is all fair game in the Republicans' view.
Now, Mark, you're an independent insurance agent. How do you think, we've only got about 1 minute to the bottom of the hour, so we can carry your answer over, but what do you think the impact of this is going to be on an independent insurance broker?
The impact has already started, Amanda. The commissions that the independent agents have received have been cut anywhere from 50% to 80% already. and that's because of the minimum loss, the MLR, having to be at 20%. But the real impact is not just going to be on the agents as much as it will be on the people. They're really pushing people. I believe that they're pushing people to go to an internet marketing situation, to where they go online and they pick a plan. About when we come back after the hour, I'll kind of share with you my history that I've had dealing with Medicare products and how this is following down the exact same path and what that outcome has been.
All right. We're in studio with our special guest today, Mark Croucher, independent insurance agent in the state of Oklahoma, and we're discussing the health insurance exchanges. We're going to ask you to stick around for the second half of America in the Balance.
Do you need to promote your business on the internet? The Truth in Focus Radio Network reaches listeners locally in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and all across the United States. The shift is on from traditional media to internet marketing. Stay on the cutting edge with your business. Advertise with us today. Email radio at truthinfocus.org. You heard the word, so will they. Email us at radio at truthinfocus.org.
Canyon State Wireless is your hands-on source for design, sales, service, and installation of the best land mobile two-way radio systems. Check us out on the web at canyonstatewireless.com or call us for specific information at 866-458-4772, 866-458-4772. Canyon State Wireless. When you're serious about communication.
Welcome back to the second half of America in the Balance on Truth in Focus Internet Radio. This is Amanda Teagarden in studio with James Parsons. We're both of OK Safe. That's Oklahomans for Sovereignty and Free Enterprise. Our website is OK-SAFE.com, OK-SAFE.com. Our in-studio guest today is Mark Croucher, who is the president and owner of Y Insurance, WHY, all caps, and is an independent insurance broker in the state of Oklahoma. We are discussing the implementation of the Health Insurance Exchange, which is a cornerstone of what is called in the public Obamacare. All right, you were talking about the effect that this has had.
What, kind of back up a little bit, back in 2004, I began doing research on what was going to be a new innovative program through Medicare called the Part D Drugs Plan. It had passed. It would be implemented in, it would take effect on the first day of January 2006. As I researched, I thought to myself, this is something I want to get my agency involved in. Quietly went out and gathered up the contracts to market the drugs and learned about a product that had been out and about for quite a while called Medicare Advantage Plans, which was known as Medicare Part C. And it was a combination of a network plan that was private Medicare, if you want to call it that, where companies managed that your health care for the federal government. They would put that along with a drug plan. In 2005, when we started to market it, there were 43 or 48 different companies that operated. It was on a county-by-county basis throughout the country. Here in Tulsa County, for example, and the surrounding county, there were between 43 and 48 different carriers. And it was pretty much wide open. We had agents everywhere. They could market just about any way that they'd marketed insurance. But it was a federal program. It was part of CMS, Center of Medicare, Medicaid, part of Medicare. And they controlled the way it would be marketed and the way it would be handled. And the next year, we wrote several thousand clients here in the state. Nationally, there was about 44 to 46 million people that they had to get enrolled. Shortly after that first year, it became known that they had developed a website, medicare.gov, into which people could go to and enroll, find out information, track their care, and enroll online direct without dealing with an agent. That was great if you knew it. All the lingo and all the terms and fully understood everything. But if you had questions or you had a special situation, you might not really pick the best plan because the cheapest plan is not always necessarily going to be the best plan or the cheapest plan for you in the long haul. And as their controls and their regulations went on as to how you could solicit business, it literally got down to where the last couple of years, first of all, in 2008, immediately following the election, federal CMS actually ordered the insurance carriers to cut the commissions to a standardized dollar figure, you know, to where they were all to pay the same. Now, no one heard about that, I'm sure.
No.
And it affected a very small amount of people across the country. Just the independent agents were the ones that were affected with it for the most part. We did our thing. We still took care of our clients. We took care of our business, did it for a whole lot less money. But they got the regulations to how we could market it to where we could only talk about one product at a visit. We had to have a signed document 48 hours ahead of time from a customer of what we were going to talk about when we went to their home. If the customer wanted to talk about another product, we weren't allowed to. We had to reschedule 48 hours later to come back and do it again. If we got there and discovered that there would be a better product, guess what? We were not allowed to explain it to the customer. We had to get a signed document, come back 48 hours later, unless, of course, they wanted to come to our office. Now, that all sounds well and good, but what they also forget to tell you is you have 6 weeks to enroll everybody. And we used to do it from the 15th of November to the 31st of December. And then after that, there was 90 days you could do some kind of mop-up work. But everything to do with drugs had 6 weeks where you had to enroll everybody. If they missed that window, they were out and had to wait until the following year. Now, that's what happens when the government's got their hands on the marketing of how it has to be done. Now, they can talk about it being free enterprise or that you can go to the internet and do it, but, you know, you're not having the professional, no one market, as far as I can tell, I have not found any other professional organization that got their hands cuffed like that. when it comes to marketing their product. And that was done by the federal government. And it was not done until we got all the people enrolled.
And what year was this?
That was in 2006. And then they began to tighten it up. And the next year, there was a few restrictions. Certifications, every carrier that we write for, and as a broker, at the time we were writing for 20-some carriers. In this program, we had to be certified with every carrier and go through their classes, as well as go through a state certification class, as well as have a federal certification. So we spent countless hours getting certified just to each year just to handle these products. But like I said, the big thing now, instead of there being 40 to choose from, there's like three to four left.
How much did it cost you to get the certification?
The certifications, other than the time involved, a couple of $100 to get them all finished. That was all. But that's above and beyond the continuing education that is required of all insurance agents.
All right. It kind of reminded me when you were talking about that, how the EPA required everybody in the construction industry to take the training about for installing windows in homes prior to that were built prior to 1978, so that they can check for asbestos, and they had to pay a fee, and of course they would not be allowed to install a window in a house built prior to 1978 without that certification, and you had to do an asbestos check, which the result is the price of construction or remodeling on your home just went up because all these independent businessmen had to pay for the certification mandated by the EPA and had to pass that cost on to their customers then. Everything to fix your house got more expensive. So what you're describing is the same thing. In order to offer insurance, got more expensive.
Well, the other thing that happened that is out there now, and this is where I have a problem with what we call an exchange, I would just like somebody to tell me, and I know I'm just a simple country boy, but I would like somebody to sit down and just explain to me what is the real objective with this exchange. If it's to make people aware of the products we got, they can. If you're under 65 years of age and you live in the United States, you can go to a website called healthcare.gov and punch in your zip code and find every plan that's marketed in your area. So I don't understand what it is that they're trying to accomplish. And once again, why do we need $50 million if we're going to model ourselves after Utah? And Utah did it for $600,000.
We are going to be implementing the largest, the biggest insurance exchange in the country in Oklahoma. For $54 million, you can do quite a bit. Now, on the timeline when you're talking about that was 2004. In 2009, Chris Steele, Representative Chris Steele, passes House Bill 2026, which lays the groundwork for the creation of the exchange. In 2010, the Oklahoma legislature created the Chief Information Officer position, which was a new cabinet position that it's a part of the governor's administration. His name was Alex Pettit, and I'm sure he's a very fine person, but his role was to bring all the state agencies into what they call the 21st century and to identify, this is all IT stuff, identify, eliminate waste, reduce fragmentation, and make things more efficient. And what we're seeing right now in 2011 is the consolidation, the concentration, not the elimination of, but the consolidation of agencies within the state as part of this government modernization. And what he's doing is standardizing all of the state's IT infrastructure. So no matter whether you're in the Panhandle or in Oklahoma City or in Tulsa, all the state agencies in the state are using a common interoperable IT structure and will have a central server, etc. So his government was going to be more more online. So in 2011, what we've got here then is the state is implementing the health insurance exchange, which requires an as-is assessment of the state's IT infrastructure. Fortunately, we had the CIO who had already contracted with a global consulting in technology company, an outsourcing company called Capgemini, which we have discussed before in this program. And that Capgemini is doing an IT assessment in the state and has a deadline of March 2011, which matches the deadline for one of the deadlines on this grant, to give a report on the as-is status of all the IT systems in the state of Oklahoma, state agencies, which is 136. Part of getting the grant was that you had to provide to the federal government proof that you understand where you are, what your as-is position with your IT infrastructure. So there are no accidents here. It has been year-by-year implementation of what has been called Obamacare, which has really been a plan for quite a long time, which is to have federal control of the insurance coverage in the state of Oklahoma. And as James pointed out, he saw in one of the handouts that you gave us, James, Mark, was that they're going to standardize everything in health insurance in order to make it more competitive, which is a contradiction in terms.
Right. Once you standardize, you've eliminated all competition. So there is no division of I can provide this here or provide that. No, it's all standardized, and really takes the job out of your hands. Is that not right, Mark?
It does. It like I said, one of the things when I was campaigning, I found fascinating was people that would come up to me talking about their health problems and how they couldn't get insurance. And we were able to solve every one of them. And as I said then, and I'll say now, we don't need new programs. The programs are there. Let's just take some time to educate the people. And the people have to have an accountability as well to make themselves available to try to learn it from time to time.
Now you say educate. Now, would you say that in your job, is to educate consumers about insurance programs?
That is all my job is. As a broker, my fiduciary, my financial responsibility lies with my client, not with a carrier. I've never been on a payroll of an insurance company. And as a broker, we sit down with people and we say, all right, what are your needs? What do you want to do? Now, of course, everybody wants everything covered for a dollar a month. Doesn't happen. That's not reality. But we find out what their needs are, and we will take their needs and match it up as close as possible.
So you aid customers in choosing which policies?
Choose it. And most of the time what we can do is we can cover what people want, but it's done in a non-conventional fashion. We might use, two different policies put together to create the type of coverage that the person best needs that fits their pocketbook.
Now, do you also counsel them on what they need and things that will help them get a better return for their insurance policy?
Oh yeah, it's all about the dollars and dollars and cents. And when I say that is, what we'll advise them, they'll make the decision, and we'll write what they want. But we will advise them other plans like health savings accounts, which puts more accountability on the individual, are definitely the best bang for the money.
Now, I'm not a smart guy. Okay, I am just reading to you what House Bill 2026 says, that power that you just explained, that is your job, that is what you do for a living, has now been given over to the insurance commissioner. That is according to the bill, that's what he is now commissioned to do, is to take what you do as a profession and now has given that responsibility over to the government.
So the state is the broker.
The state has then become the broker, and now that the state has become the broker, they create the exchange so that everything now runs through the state, and your job is now insignificant.
It's insignificant, but there's other things that, I want to point out. My curiosity to this, I don't mind the state being competitive, want to get out here and play ball, but to keep it fair and equal, I don't think we need to be using state dollars to advertise the exchange. If it's all going to be ran for, the insurance companies themselves can put the money up there to advertise on the exchange. We don't need to federally subsidize the advertising of it or the marketability, whatever you want to call it. That to me is not what our taxpayer dollars are for, and what our tax people need to be doing. There's got to be more to it. I just don't know what it is.
In Obama, in the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act, or in the grant application, it says it refers to that you have to fulfill Section 1561 of the bill of the law, all right? Well, 1561, and I don't mean to confuse people with all these numbers, but this is a contract, and so you have to read what that section says. And that particular section says that it has to do with health information technology enrollment standards and protocols. This is what the health insurance exchange must abide by, are these standards and protocols, which is to standardize, not just in Oklahoma, but in every other state, U.S. territories, and elsewhere, all information health records. Right down to electronic, is what it says here, the standards and protocols for electronic enrollment in the federal and state programs described in subsection A shall allow for the following. Shall means will. Electronic matching against existing federal and state data, including vital records, employment history, enrollment systems, tax records, and other data determined appropriate by the Secretary, that's the Secretary of Health and Human Services, to serve as evidence of eligibility and in lieu of paper-based documentation. So what this means is that from the moment you're born till the time you die, you are creating an electronic record by which or through which the government, through this particular one, Health and Human Services, can track you. The other part of House Bill 2026 in 2009 was electronic medical records. And again, this is marketed to the public as saying that you're going to have more control over your health records. What this means is that eventually we're going to be going to an electronic healthcare system. You may be picking one from column A and one from column B, but the content is going to be the same, and you're going to end up with healthcare provided to you via the internet. You put in your symptoms, and it'll come up with a recommended treatment plan. And if you need to talk to a doctor, your doctor could be anywhere in the world, and that's why I said Mumbai, India. Your doctor can be anywhere. This is a tops-down control of, through the electronic medium, through the IT infrastructure of all healthcare. And the same thing is happening with business. Businesses are having to file all records online. Education is moving to an electronic education system, electronic textbooks, etc. We are now through the Race to the Top meeting the federal government's Common Core standards, curriculum standards within the state. And the governance itself is moving towards software. You're going to interface with your government through the internet. So it's e-business, e-health, e-governance, and e-education, e standing for electronic. That's the infrastructure that's being built here. And why would we do this? It's marketed as we're going to create efficiencies, but what this is actually socialization through the electronic medium of everything. You're not going to be necessary, Mark, as an independent insurance broker, because the state is going to handle it.
That's correct.
So, I'm a fan of electronic medium just as much as anybody else, but I wouldn't mind if the internet crashed at the moment, because we're an electronic web, or a cage is being built around each one of us.
One of the things that I keep hearing a lot about the positives to the exchange are they going to be that the uninsured people that are uninsurable will be able to get insurance. Well, you're uninsurable because of your health conditions. But if it's not going to matter and we are going to have insurance available for all, then I question why we need to be so hardcore on the records. Because if you're going to be guaranteed eligible, then underwriting becomes a moot point. And that's what the medical records would be used for.
It also determines, because it is tied to your work, on your ability, eventually, I see this, that you'll be not be able to be counted as a worker in the state because of your health condition. How they would have access to that is through the electronic health records.
But it also, if you look farther down the road, you know, it makes them to be able to preemptively to begin to bank on whether in the future you'd be a good health risk or this for that based on your medical historical past or that of your ancestral past, which is one of the things that we're fighting against now in the insurance industry, is to keep the insurance carriers from using your and the federal government from being able to use your parents' health conditions and anything that's happened in generations past against.
Well, you'll be happy to know that Senator Shorty, who's a new senator in the state of Oklahoma, has introduced a birth certificate compact piece of legislation that is to standardize in electronic format the birth certificates to make them electronically filed, and then it mandates also what specific information is noted on the birth certificates, and the compact is from state to state. That's part of another initiative by an organization called NAFIS, which is moving, has an agreement already in place to recognize the vital records of Americans and Canadians. Representative Doug Cox, who is a doctor, representing Grove, Oklahoma, has a get you at the other end, because he's got a bill out there on the death certificate, which is it's an amendatory law that's going to change the amount of data that's on the information about you on the death certificate. So Senator Shorty's got you at the birth end, which is from cradle, and then Representative Doug Cox has you at the grave part. Once you died, your Social Security number is now supposed to be part of the vital records, and they issue this document along with other information about your parents and their place of birth. Is this document in electronic format is sent to the state of birth. So it's standardizing all the vital records, which is live birth, abortions, and natality, as it's called, death records, all vital statistics, which is a division of the Department of Health in the state of Oklahoma. Everything is being standardized, put into electronic format, and is able to be interoperable with other states. The states are also being made interoperable with other countries. See, this is not accidentally happening in the state of Oklahoma. So, aren't we all happy now? Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, makes fella want to move to Alaska, where they give the money back and said, forget it.
We should be so lucky. But we have a U.S. former U.S. Congresswoman, Mary Fallon, as the governor. And I'm not so sure whether it was Fallon or Jerry Askins, the Democrat who was running, if the outcome would be any different as far as instituting Obamacare in the state.
No, the only difference I think would be that the Republicans would, if Jerry Askins would have won, the Republicans would have been more vocal. With Mary Fallon there, I think they've all become silenced. I think that's really the only difference.
I agree with you. And one of the things that bothers me the most about this, Obamacare was passed in March of 2010. House Bill 2026 was passed in March 2009.
Right. This has been going on way before. That's why when it was brought up finally in the U.S. Congress, the bill had already been written. The stack of papers were already there, because this has been in the works for years and years beforehand, and allowing the states to get their infrastructure together in order to bring this about. And so everything was already in place, as we see with House Bill 2026 here, like you said, back in 2009. The infrastructure was already in place. And who did it? It was the Republicans that did it. And they're the ones that pushed for it. And what I wrote this week with some of my friends around, it took the bravery of the Democrat Party to pass it, but it took the spineless Republicans to actually implement it. So, and that's kind of where we are at in this whole battle between these two parties and with this national health care,
socialized medicine,
right?
And another thing, if you wanted to see this document, I hope that we have it up on our website, which is a 41-page grant. It's the announcement. It's called the Cooperative. You can do a search on this. Cooperative Agreements to Support Innovative Exchange Information Technology Systems. And another way to say this is how to implement Obamacare in your state. And let the federal government give you grant money in order to implement it. But the Health Insurance Exchange, let's just sum this up. The Health Insurance Exchange and the bills that are creating this exchange are a cornerstone of Obamacare, what has become known as Obamacare. Without this cornerstone, the federalization or socialization of the healthcare industry cannot take place. So there's no room for denial that this is key to instituting Obamacare. Now, the state has passed State Question 756, which, as you pointed out, James, only said you don't have to participate or buy it. It did not say that we're not going to participate at all. There was a bill that said that, and that bill didn't advance.
Amazing how that bill did not advance, huh?
It was amazing.
Now having the foresight, you know, after seeing what we're seeing now, we understand why that bill could not get off the ground.
It could not, because the wrong people were running it also.
That's right.
And then the state, through the attorney general, has filed a lawsuit. I haven't read the words in the lawsuit, so now I'm wondering what the lawsuit is about. So, Mark, have you seen the lawsuit?
No, I haven't. I saw the synopsis of it, but basically it's saying it doesn't say that the state of Oklahoma, can't do it. It's just basically saying the federal government does not have the constitutional right to impose it,
to force people to buy it.
Yeah.
Right. Now, the seven states that took the grant all have to agree or demonstrate, as it says, where Fallon said there were not any unacceptable roadblocks. There are strings. And what the grant says, that the applicant, which is the state of Oklahoma, has to demonstrate the extent to which the program may be broadly applicable to and or replicable, means it could be duplicated in other states. You have to do that. So what is here in these test pilot states, these seven states that have taken it, is that they're going to work out the kinks, and then the other states are going to adopt it. This is going to be a national health insurance exchange.
And again, this is where definition of terms come into place. This is where the Republicans run on, well, we need, quote, portability, of health insurance coverage.
Cross state lines.
Well, this is the implementation. Exactly of it.
I'm the one with the cold, you know. All right. Well, we'll have to have you back again, Mark. Are you going to continue to fight this? Or now, state again, when's the next public meeting?
The next meeting is the 16th of March. I think it's 10:30 in the morning. It's Shepherd's Hills Mall.
In Oklahoma City.
In Oklahoma City.
And this is put on by the NAFA organization?
No, that's actually put on by the Oklahoma, the insurance exchange, which is in the hands of, which is, once again, I'll bring it up, according to 2026, it should be with the Oklahoma Insurance Commission. But instead, it is now in the hands of the Department of Mental Health.
I'm wondering if, because of the consolidation efforts that are happening, if the Oklahoma Department of Health Care Authority and the Department of Mental Health is one under the leadership of the other?
I'm not sure.
That's something to find out. we're all going to be needing mental health by the time this is all done. Especially if you resist this, maybe you are a mental case if you resist this. Anyway, the point is that we're asking people to call your legislator, call your elected official, both your House member, your representative, and your senator, and tell them that you object to the implementation of the health insurance exchange in the state of Oklahoma. And you need to make those calls today and all of 2011. We have some time in order to resist this, but call your legislators. Controversy needs to be created over this, or discussion needs to be created over this, because it's kind of sliding in, and people have not been made aware of what's actually happening.
Right. They've effectively make this sound like a state's issue when it's actually a national issue. Because if you think of everything, they're thinking, oh, the states can implement this but they're not seeing the integrated technology that's going in place to know that it's actually going to be integrated from state to state, to where it's all going to be combined into one.
Right.
It's kind of a back doorway. Instead of just saying, hey, we're going to nationalize it, no, they're going to backdoor it, where it's going to look like a state level, which will then grow into a national database.
Part of the application process, you're correct, part of the application process that they have to show proof of the current legislation that they're implementing to support getting the grant.
And this is the idea of what I've always said. This is a Republican's version of states' rights.
There you go.
This is what they think of states' rights. Yeah. That it's the backwards way. It's the states building upwards to create a federal database.
That's the music indicating another hour of America in the Balance. We thank you for listening, and call your elected officials.